Wow. Church, it is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. We are so excited about things that are going on. We're so excited about the way our Heavenly Father has blessed us. And certainly we're thankful for all the new folks that have come our way. And recently, we have had a family that's been visiting with us for quite some time, and you probably thought those folks aren't visitors because they're working at VBS, they're doing all kinds of things, and just had already plugged themselves in here, but officially today, they said, hey, we're going to place our membership at the Azalea City Church of Christ. And so please welcome Jason, Amanda, and Blakely Slay to the Azalea City Church of Christ, officially. Stand up, guys. Stand up for me. Thank you very much. Again, they were working so hard at VBS, and they were doing so many great things already here at Azalea City. So certainly, we are thankful you're here, and you've already been working, so we're excited about that. And listen, I know that you guys have already heard how great Blakely does in sports, and that she was helped lead her team to a state championship, and then she was MVP of the tournament, but we haven't announced this yet. She was recently named the South Mississippi Player of the Year. So that was incredible as well. So, hey, speaking of Vacation Bible School, it was great. It certainly was great. Probably the biggest Vacation Bible School we've had since before 2020. And that is amazing because even though it's now 2025, you think, hey, things should be getting back to normal. People got out of the habit of doing everything, it seems like. But, you know, Taylor just sent me this, and I don't know that I fully allowed it to really resonate in my heart, but the more it does, the more amazed I am. We had, of our congregation helping, 125 people working with VBS. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And that is a big number, folks. And let me tell you, you know, there are a lot of things that people can say, well, VBS is not what it used to be. Hey, can you turn the lights down just a little bit up here? The VBS is not what it used to be, and certainly people are going away from it, and, you know, let's just go to a one day, let's do this. And listen, I can hear positives and things and all of that, but when you hear 125 people working in Vacation Bible School, to me, that sounds like a pretty great congregational effort. And so I'm proud of you, church. I love you, and I appreciate you. Thank you for everything you're doing. And listen, when it comes to things that, you know, Vacation Bible School, and Justin, that was such a great job you did this morning, and by the way, I thought it was a saxophone, Grayson. I didn't think it was a... Anyhow, I'm kidding. I didn't even see it. But all that to say, Justin did a great job, but in some of that, you know, what I really want to bring to this is it is okay for a congregation to act like they're saved. It's okay for a congregation to worship like they're saved. In my Bible class on Sunday mornings the last couple weeks, we've talked about we need to live positively. We need to live like we're saved every day. Choose Jesus. Choose God. And so along the way, you know, sometimes people will tell you things and you'll listen, but maybe you let them go in one ear and out the other. Well, today, I want to talk to you about listening. Sometimes when you let it go in one ear and out the other, you're tired of dealing with negativity. You're tired of dealing with complaints. You're tired of dealing with things. And you know, listen, you're going to get that in everything you do. I mean, really, in the church and in school and work, you know, and it was said in my class this morning that we just live in a negative society. And that is certainly the truth. But I don't want to talk about people being complaining and listening. I want to talk about truly people with needs and listening today. It's been, I don't know if it was during COVID or not, Justin, but we did a Wednesday night at my house. I think it was just a bad rain, and you came over, and we broadcast out our Wednesday night devotional, and Justin and I did it, and people way back then said, you need to do that in a sermon. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to do it. But we talked about listening. See, Justin and I are both counselors, and so we learned in school that the one thing a counselor needs to do is ask the question and listen. If you know me, that's very hard. I don't preach sermons that I don't need to hear, okay? This is a sermon for me, and hopefully it's a sermon you'll get something out of. I do not like awkward silence. And so if somebody says something and then it's awkwardly silent, I just feel the need. I need to speak up. It's an anxiety in me. It's a nervous habit in me. And so what that has happened is that brings some challenging times to me, because if I ask a question in a counseling session, especially to somebody who's really shy and really struggling, I'm supposed to sit there and listen. But instead, I want to fix it. I want to jump the gun. And I'm concerned that maybe sometimes in our lives, even with people in our everyday lives, not in a counseling setting, but in a, hey, I need to talk to you setting, or I need you to hear what I'm saying, I need you, we're tuning it out. Listen, we live in a busy time. I believe everybody's got a little attention deficit disorder these days. You know, some of us diagnosed with it, some may not be, but there are so many things, there's so many distractions around. One of them is the cell phone or any device. And, you know, I used to joke that, you know, that I'm going to go do a wedding one day and we're just going to text the whole thing. Nobody's going to, because nobody talks to each other, it seems. Teenagers today, they don't talk. They could be sitting right next to each other, texting each other. I'm like, you're sitting next to each other. Say something. Open your mouth. And so, here's the issue though. If we're learning, if we're not having great communication skills, part of communicating is listening. And so today I want to challenge us to listen. I want to challenge us to talk to people. Put the distractions away. You know, as a coach, I would tell kids, look me in the eyes. Did y'all hear that when you were coaching or when you were playing sports? Look me in the eyes. Look at an adult in the eyes. That's a lost art today, because kids don't understand that. And I'm not saying your kids, but I'm saying kids in general. And so you have to remind them, look at why, because I have your attention. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And so with that being said, sometimes I can be talking to somebody and my brain is going so fast. It's not an excuse. It is a reality. It's not an excuse. Sometimes my brain is going so fast, I'm trying to finish their sentence before they even get it out. And so with that, they're talking to me and I got so many things going on, I catch myself not looking them in the eyes, and that bothers me. In fact, I said it to somebody the other day at the gym. I said, I'm so sorry, I really am listening to you. But I'm trying to make a conscious effort to stop and truly listen. And my wife probably gets the most blunt of all of that. And guys, if we're honest, we probably could say that. But it is important. It's important because look on the screen at 1 Peter chapter 2 right here. Verse 21 reads this, "For to this you have been called, because also Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps." Jesus is the chief cornerstone. What is our theme this year? Living stones. We are those stones, again, stones that are alive, stones that are, it's okay to let people know how much we love Jesus Christ, stones that are alive, that are connected to the chief cornerstone. So if we're connected to the chief cornerstone, guess what? Jesus has to be our example. We know, Terry, He's our example in everything. Well, that means listening as well. Jesus was an excellent listener. And we're going to prove that today. Jesus took time and listened. And I will make the argument that in the 3 years that Jesus' public ministry took place, nobody who's ever lived was any busier than Jesus Christ. And He took time out to actively listen to what people were saying. So today, let's talk about it. How do we listen like Jesus? Let's get into it. Number one, Jesus listened with intention. As my buddy Bill says, He did it on purpose. Everything God has done has been on purpose. Everything that Jesus has done has been on purpose. He did things purposely to help us understand the example that He was setting before us. Jesus, when He took time to hear people, He didn't just hear words. He sought to understand the heart that was behind those words. Let's prove it by looking at Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, beginning in verse 46. One of my favorite stories of Jesus healing someone in the entire Bible. In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, here's how it reads. And they came to Jericho. As He was leaving Jericho with His disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's pause right there. Can't you understand that? Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Listen, the older I get, the worst thing that I've experienced so far about getting older is the constant losing of my eyesight. Why do I preach off an iPad? Because I can blow the font up really big. I already wear contacts, so readers are just one more thing. And I haven't developed the art of looking down at my notes and looking up. I mean, that some of y'all can do that great. I just can't. One of these days, you know, I'm sure I'm going to probably have to go to bifocals and trifocals and all those things out there. But the point is, it's frustrating to me to not look down. If I'm trying to read a rule or do a measurement or something, I have to get glasses out to be able to see it. But at least I can see. Can you imagine being blind? Can you imagine how terrible that would be? You know, our sweet sister Nash, she's legally blind. It hadn't stopped her. But I guarantee you today, if she could ask for one thing, you'd probably want that eyesight back, wouldn't you, sis? Bartimaeus, blind. So he's sitting by the road, and what, again, his other senses are working. He hears. Notice that. He hears that Jesus is coming by. And so he says, this is my one shot. I got one shot at it, and I'm going to cry out with all my heart, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I do not blame him one bit. Let's pick back up. And many rebuked him, telling him to be quiet. Oh no, this is my one shot. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, notice this, he sprang up and came to Jesus. I guess so. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus was crying out for mercy, and nobody was listening. He sat there and he cried out, and he did it probably time and time again. They probably used him as a beggar. They probably used him as somebody that people would feel sorry for. And, hey, you can give him some money. But he was crying out. He wanted to be active. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be able to see again. And they said, be quiet. They weren't interested in listening. You're bothering Jesus Christ. He's a busy, busy man. He doesn't have time for you. But when he heard, he stopped. And he got them to bring Bartimaeus to him. And he listened to him. In fact, do you know Jesus already knew what Bartimaeus needed? There was no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, Jesus knew Bartimaeus wanted his sight back. But he still asked him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? In other words, Bartimaeus, say it. I'm listening. I hear you. I'm listening to what you need. Say it to me. Ask me. Tell me. What is it I can help you with? And of course he said, I want my sight back. Though Jesus already knew that, he still gave Bartimaeus a voice. What does that teach us? Intentional listening means that we need to set aside our agendas from time to time to truly hear what people are asking. It's not about waiting for our turn to speak or jumping to fix a problem. Listening is more than silence. It's presence. Empathy begins when we stop trying to fix. This is a point for Terry, especially. Empathy begins when we stop trying to fix and instead ask, what's going on with you? How can I help you? Tell me your story. There are so many people like Bartimaeus. I'm thankful Bartimaeus didn't stop. I'm thankful that when they told him to be quiet, he said, uh-uh. I'm going to speak. I've got one shot. This may be the only opportunity I have. I'm going to cry out for Jesus all the more. And then I love that our Savior, in 3 years of a public ministry, did more things that the world itself couldn't contain, all the things that he did. He stopped his agenda. And he looked Bartimaeus in the eyes. And he said, what can I do for you? You see, that's intentional listening. What else can we learn from Jesus? Number two. Jesus listened with compassion. His listening was not cold, and it was not clinical. That's important as well. His listening was warm. It was full of love, and it moved Jesus to action. There's another powerful story. Let's talk about the widow of Nain. Listen to this story. As he, Jesus, drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, that's the place of the coffin. And the bearer stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Again, so many stories that we could choose from. This widow who's burying her son, the most stressful thing a person can do is bury their own child. Very close to it is to bury your spouse. She's experienced both. Jesus obviously sees her. He sees that she's upset. But He didn't just see her tears. He heard her unspoken grief. Can't you see it played out today? When somebody is wearing grief, they may not be saying, hey, I'm crying out, I'm hurting, listen to me, but they're wearing that grief. You can just see it on their face. That's the type of person Jesus said, I'm listening compassionately. What's going on that I can help you with? See, Jesus understood she had experienced a huge loss. This widow was not only losing her son, she was also losing her security, she was losing her hope, and chances are she was even losing some income. Jesus' compassionate listening led Him to act. Again, this story is told in Luke 7. He was so willing, compassionately to listen to her that He raised her son from the dead. Compassionate listening means we don't just hear the words. We feel the weight of someone's pain. Paul said, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You see, when there are those who are hurting, do we compassionately hear their hurt? The hardest thing for me to counsel, really my least favorite thing to counsel, is grief. Everybody grieves differently. There's no book that you look in and say, oh, on page 38 it says this is the way you're supposed to grieve. Now, everybody grieves differently. And then when it's a complicated grief, a death that was sudden, when you didn't get to say goodbye and you know they were just taken from you and it was just all of a sudden, that's called complicated grief. And that adds up. And so in those situations, it's hard to counsel. But you can compassionately listen. You may not have the words to say, and that's okay. Maybe you just hug them. Maybe you just cry with them. But there are people around us that are facing that every single day. Again, oftentimes, and self included, we're tempted to offer quick fixes. See, my whole life I've been a fixer. I was the baby of three boys. And from time to time, I had a couple brothers that would get into some disagreements. I couldn't stand that. I wanted to fix it. From time to time, when you experience mama and dad maybe disagreeing over something, I couldn't stand to see that, so I wanted to fix it. Sometimes we can't fix it, guys. I can't bring people's loved one back. Jesus could, I can't. You can't bring loved ones back. So instead of quickly jumping to how can I fix this, maybe just say how can I listen to them? The Hebrew writer reminds us of this. Hebrews 4:14, it's a beautiful scripture. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Did you hear that? Our high priest is Jesus Christ. And He knows how to sympathize with our weaknesses. He's listening. And He's doing it intentionally. And He's doing it compassionately. When we listen with compassion, we're reflecting Christ. We're reflecting His heart. We're building bridges of empathy that's going to show others, hey, you're not alone. But then number three and finally this morning, Jesus listened to transform. He listened intentionally. He listened compassionately. And He listened to others so that He can help transform their lives. Again, a lot of scriptures we can choose. But I want to take you to Zacchaeus' story in Luke 19. Again, Zacchaeus, we know the story. He was a man of smaller stature, but he had a big bank account. He had a big bank account because he had taken people's money as a tax collector, a chief tax collector, by the way. So not only did he probably have some inefficiencies that he didn't like about himself being smaller in stature, but he had people that didn't like him either. So if Zacchaeus cried out, he was the last person people were going to talk to. People didn't want to hear him. They didn't want anything to do with him. In fact, they probably went the other way when they saw him coming because they figured he's only here to take my money. But he heard, like Bartimaeus, that Jesus was coming to town. So, what did he do? He found a way. I've got to see him. Can't see over the crowd, so I'm just going to go climb this tree. Pretty impressive. So he climbs up in this sycamore tree. And to my knowledge, he's not saying a whole lot. But Jesus heard him. He heard him loud and clear. You see, somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus was wrestling with what he was doing. He was wrestling because he knew what he was doing was not right. He was wrestling because he knew he had cheated people out of their money. He was wrestling because this is not a life that I really want to live. I could have all the money in the world and just still be most miserable. And I believe Zacchaeus was there. He had all this money and all this fortune and all of a sudden he finds himself empty. And so he does everything in his power to see Jesus and perhaps be seen by Jesus. Jesus was listening. So he says to Zacchaeus in verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What? Jesus the Christ? This man who is supposed to be the Savior of the Jews? You're not supposed to like tax collectors. They're heathens. They're evil. What do you mean you're going to Zacchaeus' house? The one that we don't like the most. Jesus was listening to Zacchaeus so that he could transform Zacchaeus. By calling his name, and choosing to spend time with him, to dine with him, Jesus showed, I hear your heart, Zacchaeus. What was the result? Zacchaeus was transformed. Verse 8, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. You see, there are people around us that they may not say a word.
but their heart's crying out. I'm going to suggest to you, there comes a time in the pig pen like the prodigal son when people start coming to themselves. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to hear their heart? Are we willing to lead them to the one that can still transform them? Transformative listening invites people to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ who can still transform their lives. It's about hearing someone's story. It's about hearing someone's heartache. It's about hearing someone's decisions that they've made that's gotten their life into a complete mess. It's about hearing that and pointing them to the one who can redeem them with it all. Dawson read it earlier. James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When we listen to transform lives, we're creating opportunities for God to work through us. And that fosters empathy that leads to repentance, that leads to healing, that leads to hope. Bubba read to us earlier about the road to Emmaus. That is such a powerful story. You see, they didn't even realize they were talking to Jesus. But even then, Jesus was listening. And all of a sudden, you talk about bizarre. They're eating a meal and they look up and He's gone. He's just disappeared. But did you hear the last part of that? Our hearts burned within us. You see, when we realize Jesus is listening, it lights our hearts on fire. When we realize that Jesus cares about our hurt, our pain, and He can sympathize with all of our weaknesses, He's listening intentionally. He's listening compassionately, but He's listening so that we can transform our lives. As a people, as a church, as a family, we need to slow down. Not with the Lord's work, but with life. Slow down. Create space to listen to others today. Create space to listen to God today. Create space to listen to someone who needs to be heard. Something else we as a people need to do is we need to speak less. We need to let our ears be the loudest part of our love. We also need to act with empathy. Listening is only the beginning. Compassion and action are there to follow. Jesus, what an example. He's an example in everything, but one thing we probably don't think about enough is the way He listened. And I could have used 100 stories today of where Jesus listened, where He took time out, called children to Him. The woman at the well, the woman in adultery. So many stories that flood your mind, I'm sure, where Jesus actively listened. When we listen the way Jesus listened, it builds empathy. It builds the ability to try to walk in someone else's shoes, to feel their joys, to feel their sorrows, but ultimately to help point them to Christ. So I challenge us all. Let's try that. There's somebody here, and I'm not going to say their name. They might would tell you, but I don't have that permission. Have you ever thought, what would I do without my phone? There was a time when I remember thinking, man, 100 texts a month? That's what I got in my plan originally. I'll never use 100 texts a month. Thousands of texts a month. There was a time when I remember having a cell phone and being embarrassed. That's a luxury. I don't need to have that. But now, if I left my wallet at home, I just, oh, I left my wallet. I leave my cell phone at home, I'm on two wheels. You can probably relate. Somebody in here, again, I will leave it up to them if they ever want to tell you, decided that was causing them to not do things. Part of that was, I'm sure, listening, being distracted. So they got rid of it and went to just an old flip phone, only to make calls and do the essential things. Some of y'all are thinking, sweating right now thinking about that. But I admire that person. I admire that extreme. What's stopping us from hearing? What's stopping us from listening? What's stopping us from helping others? If it's distractions of a phone, put it away. And by the way, I would encourage you to have time to do that every day. I'm about to hush because I said we need to listen more than talk. So I'm going to quit talking. But when a couple comes to marriage counseling, there are three things usually that I can point it back to where the issue happens. Number one, their relationship with Christ, one individually and collectively, is not where it needs to be. Number two, they have a communication problem. Number three, and maybe not in the two and three order, they have an intimacy problem. Always, I can sum it up in those three things. Hear me out. I will encourage them, number one, to get their lives with Christ the way it needs to be. But when it comes to communication and intimacy, I will say, take time purposely every single day to put your phones away, to put your distractions away, to hold hands, to look each other in the eyes, and talk and listen to each other. That builds communication skills. That builds intimacy. If a couple will do that, if you're struggling today with that, if you will do that with your spouse, your communication and intimacy will improve. But see, there are people all around us that are communicating and we're not hearing. Intimacy is not a bedroom word. It's extreme closeness. As a church, we've got to be intimate. There may be somebody on the same pew that's been crying out for years and you haven't heard them. Maybe they're struggling with something you struggled with 20 years ago, but you're not hearing them. Maybe we need to cry out like Bartimaeus, even louder. Today, I promise you this. If you will come here and cry out and confess, Jesus will hear. If today you will come here, confess His name, be immersed in water, He will transform. Today, if you have a need, won't you come right now so together we stand and sing.